cybercrime, macroeconomic conditions, ESG reporting. You can't predict the future, but you can prepare for it. By understanding your risk, you can make your business resilient to challenges on the road ahead. What's more, you can turn those risks into opportunities. EY helps CFOs, boards, and audit committees see beyond the numbers to uncover the critical insights that make their organizations resilient, even in an ever-shifting landscape. For more insights that matter, visit ey.com/beyondthenumbers.
Intel is the spark for the dreamers who do. They dream of a life with no diseases, of cleaner, greener, more reliable energy, of advancing education by bringing AI everywhere. Intel is the spark to start something new, to know that no dream is too daring when you have the right foundation. It starts with Intel. Learn more at intel.com/starts.
You know success when you see it, or you think you do, the people in the spotlight. But what about those small business masterminds who succeed at making their money work harder? They do that by having a business bank account with QuickBooks Money, which now earns 5% annual percentage yield. Making your money work as hard as you do? That's how you business differently. Learn more about QuickBooks Money at quickbooks.com/5APY. Banking services provided by Green Dot Bank, member FDIC. Only funds and envelopes earn APY. APY can change at any time.
This is Bloomberg Business Week with Carol Messer and Bloomberg Quick Takes Tim Stenovic on Bloomberg Radio.
Joining us now is Axel Hefer. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Trivago. He joins us on the phone from Germany, another night owl, joining us on Bloomberg Business Week. And Axel, I mean, it feels like all of the headlines recently have been about staffing shortages at airlines, flight delays, soaring fuel costs, also eating into their bottom lines. But from your perspective, from your unique perch, I mean, has that affected travel, summer travel at all?
Yeah, I mean, it's a very interesting point in time, to be honest, because we are coming out of the pandemic and everybody was looking very much forward to the summer travel. And you see actually a very strong demand for summer. But on the other hand, you also can see that the experience is not good. Prices are very high. You have, as you said, you have labor shortages everywhere. So the outlook is actually not that good.
Yeah, Axel, is there any sense of when things will get back to normal? This has just been a really nasty summer, as Katie said, for delays and cancellations. Is there any light at the end of the tunnel that you can see?
Yeah, I mean, it's not that easy, to be honest, because, it's not only in the travel industry. I mean, you've got labor shortages pretty much everywhere. And, I mean, to me, the question really is, how do you get the world back into balance? Yeah, so there is... is a lot more demand than what can be filled by the current staff levels and by supply. And I think we'll probably see a slowdown in demand, have to see a slowdown in demand, and over years, demand and supply will meet each other.
And so, Axel, it's interesting. So Trivago has actual data points here. You have a study that found that 83% of respondents believe that summer of 2022 will be the best yet for travel and adventure. Sort of square that circle for us. How does that be a possibility amid some of the themes that we're talking about?
Yeah, in the pandemic, we have seen one thing very, very clearly. I mean, no matter how difficult the situation has been and no matter how big the health worries have been, people want to travel in summer, and so they need to get a break. They need to break out of their daily routine. So, and that's I think what you can see in the survey that we've run that coming out of the pandemic, we are all looking very much forward to the summer, but the experience in the summer in many many places is actually not that good because the supply is not able to meet the demand. Plus, obviously, you have all these problems in the world which are leading to bad service, to high prices. And I mean, for us, that's actually interesting because we compare prices, yeah? So in a way, higher prices and a bigger discrepancy in different price levels is for us good because we can provide more value to our users.
You know, Axel, Katie and I are major market nerds, if they didn't warn you. So we often view every story from sort of the market angle and the big story this summer is the currency market weakness in the euro. It's almost trading dollar for dollar on parity against the dollar, and the dollar at multi-year highs against many currencies. Is that affecting travel trends at all? You know, are we seeing more Americans visit Europe and fewer Europeans visit America this summer?
I mean, you've got transatlantic travel up in both directions, not unexpectedly. So you can't really see that, at least in the numbers that we have, you can't really see that because you have this overall recovery of transatlantic travel that is just dominating the overall trend. I think it might be something that you potentially will see in the months to come because you're right. I mean, it got a lot cheaper for Americans to go to Europe.
And Axel, we have just about a minute left with you, and then we're going to come back after the commercial break. But I'm curious, you know, in sort of the data that you've collected, have you seen any difference in how people are traveling post-pandemic, whether that's with someone or, you know, the type of trips that they're taking?
Yeah, I mean, we've got the usual suspects on top of the list. So in the U.S., you've got Las Vegas, Orlando, New York City, all in the top five. So we haven't seen that fundamental shift. Asia is still not back because obviously the situation there is more difficult. But other than that, the behavior is much more normal compared to what we've seen last year and the year before.
Axel, we were talking a little bit about where people are going. If I look at some of the data that you sent over, Las Vegas, favorite domestic destination. If I look down the list, it seems like there's a theme, and that theme is going to the beach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, but that's very consistent to what we've seen the last 2 years. It's really breaking out of the city and going really for a summer vacation where you can relax.
This episode is brought to you by EY. How can EY teams help you create a better version of your company? We work with you to turn data into greater insights, invest to drive growth, and realize your strategic vision through thoughtful implementation. Visit ey.com/reimagine to learn more.
The Bloomberg Sustainable Business Summit returns to London on April 25th for a solutions-driven look at the sustainable business and finance landscape, looking at the latest trends in ESG regulations, supply chain innovation, and transition finance. Speakers include leaders from CDP, Emirates Environment Group, Seedtrace, COA, and more. Summit advisors include City Commercial Bank, Red Sea Global, and Schneider Electric. Visit bloomberglive.com/SBS2024 to learn more.
You know, Axel, I hear hot destinations and I think pricey destinations, and I'm really a cheapskate at heart. So I'm curious, are there any sort of off the beaten track destinations that people are going? Any sort of bargain, hidden gem getaways that we should know about?
Yeah, I mean this summer actually, there are no real bargains, to be honest. But obviously, you should avoid the top destinations. Yeah, so Vegas, New York, Orlando, Panama City Beach, etc. They are pretty well booked. So the best advice to get value for money is actually to be very flexible, to be honest. Yeah, so to avoid air transportation, go by your own car and then be flexible on the time when you're going and also on the destination.
Of course, if you take a car, you do have to pay for gas. But at least, you know, no one can cancel your car ride, at least not yet. Don't have to deal with that. But
exactly.
Axel, very aware that you're joining us from Germany. I've talked a lot about the U.S. so far. But when you look outside of the United States, I mean, where are people going? What makes the sort of the summer destination list there?
I mean, it obviously depends a bit by country. I have a similar trend, the usual suspect. So Mallorca for the Germans and the Brits, Dubai is very popular. So really people were, after the pandemic, looking forward to go to their favorite beach destination, and that's what you see pretty much everywhere.
Yeah, Axel, with all these flight cancellations and all the turmoil that's causing, I wonder, does it help to book way in advance, or to your point, is it better to be flexible and almost plan your vacation at the last minute?
Yeah, I mean, the best advice is really to control transportation, because that's the part that is very difficult right now. So really driving is actually the best and the safest. And if you are driving to a destination, you should actually book in advance, because there are a lot of destinations where there's just nothing available anymore.
Mm-hmm. That is so interesting. Yeah, and again, coming off of just a ton of headlines about flight cancellations, flight delays, at least in the U.S., it's not, I don't know. Can you drive to Mexico? I've never tried it.
Let's do it.
Okay.
You can.
Let's just got to get through this show, and then we're, Mike and I are going to research that. But so the summer travel season, obviously in full swing, a little bit difficult, but people are still traveling. Let's push ahead and talk about autumn. I mean, do you have any expectations for how that might go? Any sense that, you know, given some of the difficulties we've been talking about that have been making national headlines, might people just sort of hold off and wait for autumn?
Yeah, so I mean, our expectation is, and I mean, I'm not an economist, so you might know better than me, but our expectation is that the overall economy has to slow down. I mean, we are completely out of balance, and you have obviously very high inflation, interest rates are rising, etc. So the disposable income of many, many people is coming under pressure. So what we expect is that people will actually try to save money on their trips, which for us is, as I said earlier, is actually a good thing, and that means that they travel more locally or more regionally, and that they shop around more for the right accommodation.
Yeah, Axel, sadly, after vacation, that means one has to go back to work. And for more and more of us these days, that means actually going, changing out of your sweatpants and going back to the office and sitting at a desk in your office. I understand Trivago has tried something different. You're doing a sort of hybrid approach to work. Could you talk to us about how you're approaching that and how it's going?
Yeah, I mean, we absolutely believe in hybrid because I guess what we've seen in the pandemic is that actually remote work does work, but we've also seen the shortcomings when we're in remote setups for too long. And we believe that a good balance of focused time remotely and also more flexibility with your family at home, but also in-person interaction to, you know, build relationships, to maintain relationships for learning, for coaching, for strategizing, etc., is important. And I have to be honest, I mean, I wouldn't say that we found the silver bullet yet, and every company is struggling with the right balance of the two. And we've originally, last year, we've tried a concept where we said we think 50-50 is actually right. So we wanted people to come in 2 to 3 days per week. We are currently testing a setup where we are going for focus days where we want everybody to come in so that you actually know that when you're coming in on those days that you can meet pretty much anybody in the company. But I guess it will really take quite a bit more time and a few more years of experience to really find the right balance across all the different teams and I guess for each company individually.
Well, this conversation gets me thinking about, you know, business travel, for example. I mean, what are you seeing there? Is business travel ever going to return to pre-pandemic levels, or sort of like, you know, the office environment itself with some shifting to hybrid work? I mean, is the business travel landscape sort of fundamentally changed here?
I do think so. I think, this is actually different. And I mean, if we go back to 2008-09 and to 2001-02, I mean, we had the same discussions, business travel will not come back, etc. I think now there is one very fundamental change, which is that even not traveling, I mean, in our core job, we accept that you can actually work remotely and you can do, you know, project updates, etc. remotely, and we do that every week. And so that actually learning will lead to lower necessity for business travel. And the way we are thinking about it, you have basically two kinds of business travel. One is more relationship sales focused, where you need to meet in person because mm-hmm. building a relationship virtually is very difficult. The other one is more transactional. I mean, you discuss a deal, you give a project update, etc., which is a lot of intra-company travel.
Right.
And that will not come back to pre-pandemic levels.
All right, Axel Hefer, it is a great conversation. He is the CEO of Trivago, joining us on the phone from Germany. Again, thank you so much for staying up late.
Join Bloomberg in San Francisco or virtually on May 7th for The Future Investor,
Data-Powered Transformations. This 2024 event series will examine how data is not only playing a pivotal role in investment decisions, but serves as a driving force behind the construction of innovative, investable enterprises. This series is proudly sponsored by Invesco QQQ. Register at BloombergLive.com/futureinvestor/radio.